Oh, it's down there.
Looks like it is 7 o'clock, so I will call to order the November 21st, 2016 meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board. We'll begin with roll call.
Carolyn Adams, Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan, Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Was that Dave Russell? Here.
Susan Bush.
Okay. There is, Susan is right there. First item is reading and approval of minutes. Anybody see anything? I have one thing I noticed, but I'll... The sentence that I'm involved in, it says that I had notified members of a potential conflict of interest and gave the audience the opportunity to object to his participation, I think is what it should say. The audience is fully able to participate, but it would be if they objected to my participation. So does that seem reasonable?
No.
Okay. So other than that, I didn't see anything. So with that minor change.
Yeah, move to accept the minutes as amended.
Second.
Moved and seconded to accept the minutes from October 17th, 2016. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Tonight's agenda is actually three items. First is a continuation on a design response conference for Patala Village. Second is a continuation on design response conference for Veriz multifamily housing. And the third will be in the administrative reports. It's a Kirkland Urban minor modification update. So at this time, if there are, is or are any members of the audience who would like to address the board on any items that are not on the agenda tonight, so any unrelated items, now is the time. You have your 3 minutes. Seeing none, we will go ahead and proceed with the first item on the agenda, the Design Response Conference. And I think, Angela, that would be yours.
It is. Okay. And the applicant is asking to continue the meeting one more time, the Design Response Conference one more time, this time to March 6, 2017. And staff is recommending that you do continue it to that date, but that that be the last continuance if they don't have anything to bring forward at that time.
Okay.
When was the last meeting that we had with them?
Good question. Do you remember?
It was March of this year.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion on it, or seems reasonable to me? That is an established date. That
yes,
far out
it is.
For us.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Need a motion?
I think we do need a motion.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Sir.
Second.
Moved and seconded to continue the Design Response Conference for Patala Village to March 6th, 2017. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion is approved. We will see them in March. Thank you. Okay, second item is the continuation on the Design Response Conference for Veriz, and we'll jump right in. Tony, take it away.
All right, thank you. I did want to point out I put a copy of an email that I received last week, it was, from Jeff Jackson, G Automotive. So I did give you a copy of that for you to read. So we'll dive into this. Again, this is a continuance of the Design Response Conference for the Veriz Residential Project. Just a brief overview. Again, the subject property is located at 11801 Northeast 116th Street. Property fronts on Northeast 116th and is bordered to the to the east, a car dealership and industrial use. And to the west, the same. It's a industrial and pump it up facility. So the applicant is requesting to construct 82 townhouse units within 16 buildings with individual garage and surface parking. As you recall, it also included a central park feature that was discussed last time and requested some modifications to that. So again, the DRB's authority is to review the project with consistent with design guidelines for the design regulations. Additionally, if applicable zoning regulations that require DRB approval, staff will review for compliance with grading permits and building permits, and the Public Works Department is reviewing the traffic as part of the SEPA. Did want to give you an update on that. So the applicants, they submitted a letter to staff that they have reached an agreement with the property owner of the car dealership to have a joint access. The design of that and how that lays out will be figured out at a later date, the exact design, but it will basically utilize the existing entrance to the site, to the Varese site. The applicant also submitted a revised traffic report that is under review by our traffic engineer, and we should be issuing a SEPA determination within the next couple days on that. So at the last meeting, DRB was accepting of the overall design, but requested the applicant submit the following items. They requested plans to address the wall effect that was occurring along the east and west property lines. They wanted the applicant to submit consistent landscaping plans. There were some inconsistencies between different graphics that were shown as part of the design response conference. They wanted the applicant to look at updating the Central Park design, including pedestrian circulation, amenities, and landscaping. They wanted them to look at tree retention along the south property line, also looking at potential impacts to neighboring properties and existing trees that are along the neighboring properties to the south. Also asked them to provide color and material details, and finally a detailed lighting plan. So tonight, we're looking for the DRB to provide feedback on how the design guidelines found it for the Totem Lake neighborhood applied to the proposed development, and we look to provide feedback on building location, orientation, vehicle access, park design of the community park, pedestrian connections, lighting amenities, landscaping, and finally materials, colors, and details. And with that, I will pass it to the applicants. If you guys have any questions for me, I guess I'll take those now.
I have one real quick question. Sure. I know at one point in one of our previous meetings there was mention of a possible new road connection through from Northeast 118th up there by the church property or whatever. Is that something that is a possibility, or
that is a possibility? You know, actually, that was kind of the point of discussion. Here, I'll pull up this. So we actually had a meeting with our traffic engineer and the applicant to discuss that, because that has the potential of impacting the driveway locations. Mm-hmm. So the idea would be, is if this property redevelops up here to the north, there would be a new road connection that would go in roughly in this area right here. So it would come down into there. So obviously that would have a dramatic impact on kind of how this all works in here. So that's something that will have to be looked at when that occurs, okay. When that design occurs. But this design, having the driveway access here, the figure will still work with that intersection, that potential new intersection. So that's why the traffic engineer wanted to locate that as far west as possible.
Okay. That's all I had.
Hello, Richard Ferry representing Quadrant Homes. Tonight, we're going to have Lauren Jessup from Dahlin Group share the material and color boards and the revised site elevations. And then we'll look at the lighting concepts and and finish up with the landscape plan updates and refinement.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren from Dahlin Group, and I guess our first item will be colors and materials. This is the palette that we have come up with. It's a primarily gray and white with a touch of color along certain points around each building. There is a second concept, which is primarily the same, with the exception that this color right here would actually be more of a very dark gray color, even darker than this one here. So those would be the two different color palettes. Quadrant is still thinking. They think they probably will go with this brick, a dark gray brick, but there is the opportunity of maybe putting some board form concrete on the buildings as well. That's a decision that has yet to be made at this point in time. And the board form concrete would be in the same places that we are currently showing all of the brick work. Any questions on that? Yes. So,
how wide is white? Is there any concern that this will show, you know, dirt or something?
Well, it is. It is pretty white. It's this white right here. Pretty much doesn't even come out that clearly on the paper. Mm. But it is this color. When actually we drove around to look at different concepts for this type of a building, the white is everywhere, and it is something that will occasionally have to be maintained, but it is you see that white everywhere, and it actually looks very good on the buildings. Thank you. And especially with these forms, in this particular architecture, we really need to have a real bright color on particular portions of the building, like you see here, this square shape here. We need that bright color for those portions of the building to stand out. And then, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when you're saying that the color as opposed to a darker gray, mm-hmm. is that alternating in different buildings?
It would be alternating, yes.
The description of fiber cement board, mm-hmm. obviously some of it is panel with, I assume, metal reglets and
right.
flashing pieces.
Yes.
Others are lap siding.
It's all the fiber cement lap siding, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Various exposures?
Various exposures,
like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe we're showing 8 and 12 exposure, I believe, two different sizes on there.
Okay.
And I do have samples of the brick and the board form concrete if anyone would like to actually touch and feel those. I have those with me tonight.
And the delineation on the flashing and the regolits, especially at the white, is it all painted or is it contrasting colors on the?
The hope is that it will all be painted.
Okay.
Can we have three samples?
Sure, yes. Actually, oh, you already put them over there.
And the windows are vinyl? And this just one color? Or?
You're doing the vinyl, aren't you?
Yeah, it would be probably integral colored vinyl. It's not white.
That kind of gray, or is that a beige? Or a?
It's probably a stone colored vinyl.
Okay.
And actually, the reglets, I do want to say on the reglets, more than likely on the lighter color, the white. It will be more of probably the silver tone. And then on the darker colors, where you see the pop of color here that's dark, it would be preferred that those be colored. the reglets be colored on that.
If you end up using two palettes,
yes.
How do you see them mixed on the side? Is it one across from the other? Is it all one big thing? How do you imagine that would happen?
This palette, what I would imagine that they would probably do is they. This is all stuff to be determined as far as the plotting goes and how they're going to do this, but the preference would be to have, this would be the palette of one building, the building next to it would be the palette of the other building, and so on and so forth.
So at each alley and court, then you'd have...
At each alley and court, you'd have one of, one facing the other.
Yes. Yes, and because the majority of the colors, the gray, the darker gray, the lighter gray, the white, those are the dominant colors that will be consistent throughout the building, each building, regardless of what scheme it is. It's this color right here, this reddish color, orangish reddish color, or the darker gray color. Those would be the alternating colors on the buildings.
Those would alternate, and then the brick and the board form.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But the windows are all the same color?
The windows would all be the same color.
Where they live. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I caught the answer to the vinyl window question. If maybe you could restate that for the mic.
About the windows?
Yeah, the material and color of the vinyl windows.
Oh, the material, it's a vinyl window. Correct. It's just a vinyl window, and it would probably end up being a stone color. So it's not. It would not be a bright white. It would be a stone.
So it might blend with that number 5 fiber cement, contrast with the number 4, and have just a little bit of a difference from the white. Is that
correct? Yes.
The railings are those just representative of just a generic railing, or is that the horizontal slats metal?
It is a metal railing, okay. And it will be treated as a powder-coated, more than likely aluminum material. Okay. And that will be a dark color as well, like either a black or a dark gray, charcoal gray.
And downspouts were all internal, right?
No, we do have some downspouts, actually. Oh, it just on this image, it doesn't capture them. We do have some downspouts placed, and those would actually just mimic whatever color they're falling on.
Any other questions from the board directly to the applicant? On this particular thing, we'll just go through and do questions as we go, and then we can get through all of the responses. Okay.
Okay. And then the next item we have is the revision of the side elevation, the what's been called the wall effect on the east and west side of the property. The upper image is what we have shown to you before. This is the same floor plan on this side that goes all the way down. And then what we did below is we basically tried to start carving into that mass just a little bit where we could. One placement of that was the balcony here. We tried to return. We are now returning actually the balcony to the side of the elevation rather than just having it blocked out as it is above, exposing that corner. We're adding clear story windows that wrap around the top corner on the top. Also trying to vary the height between the buildings slightly as much as we can. And then also, if you see the pop of color on this first building here, we're trying to fur that out versus the second building that we see here where we have the white with the pop out. Just trying to make variations of where that pop out occurs, and we've incorporated different materials so that when you're seeing those side elevations, it's not the monotonous side that just runs all the way down. And also, another thing that's going to help with this is the colors. As you can see here, we are varying the colors, and if a second color scheme is used, that will help with this as well to differentiate each unit.
Any vegetation, any plantings on this side?
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to answer that. When the landscape architect comes up, he'll be able to address that.
So on this, the image on the bottom.
Yes.
So we're looking at the end of a plan 5 version 1 on the first two buildings.
Correct.
And the same on the third building.
Correct.
And the fourth building is a plan 7, which we've never seen.
That is correct.
And so is it?
So what will happen with the plan 7 is that essentially it will be, it will have, it's not, we're not going to be able to do a different massing on that. It will still be the three-story massing on there, but we'll just be able to, the windows will be in different locations. We'll be able to do a slightly different return of the deck, I believe, on that one, if I'm not mistaken. So there will be that variation as well when that new building, that new plan is introduced along that side.
Okay. Questions on that from the board directly before?
Okay, I do have. I'm just on the lowest level down there. What are the materials? I mean, obviously
what
it's party board up above, but what's down low?
Right. These, the two corners here, that would be the brick or the board form concrete. And in the center here is more fiber cement board lap siding.
Building to where your property edge is?
I think that's, what is that, 10? About 7 feet? That's about 7 feet.
The site plan we've got shows that the fourth building back, fourth, fifth, and sixth, the P7 end units look like they're a little further back. Are they actually pushed a little further away from the?
Those are about 10 feet there.
Okay, so we get. And it, at what point does the grade climbs up before you get to that fourth and fifth buildings? Is that where we're up now, where basically the garage level is buried, or?
Yes.
Okay. So that's on the east side. The west side, we don't get those, because there's yet another new building type there. That's four P7s and a 5V2 that are right at the same exact setback line, correct?
On
the west side.
The west side. The west side, it will be nearly identical to the east side. You have pretty much all the same plans running down that side.
I don't have that drawing, but.
Do we have, for this, on this side, right here, we have 5, 5, 7, 5, 5, 7, 5, and 5. And that's what, what you're referring to, if I'm not mistaken?
The middle three different.
Yeah, I'm just saying the setback.
There's
no difference in the setbacks. It's one continuous setback line at that 7 feet,
yes.
Roughly.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions on this particular piece from the board? Nope. Okay, let's go on, I think, to the the lighting.
We're going to go on to the lighting and landscape now. Here's Andy.
So this lighting concept is just that. It's just a concept. We haven't calculated foot candles or gotten to that level of detail, but just wanted to show you our idea. And I apologize, it's a little dark on this projector, but there's really five main lighting types. We have the standard street lighting that'll be on Northeast 116th, and then we have a pedestrian height light that will occur around the street, the road, the main road area. And then we have bollard lighting that we're going to show that will be along the sidewalks and also as you go in between the fronts of the buildings. And then we also have the front built lighting on the actual entries themselves on the building, and then as well as the alley. So here we can kind of see some examples of what we're thinking. So pedestrian lighting, as I said, that will be along the road here. And then we have the bollards that will happen within these courtyards and as well along the sidewalk areas inside the park and around the edge. And then here's just a couple examples of the front porch lighting and the alley lighting.
How does that alley light work?
It's actually an indirect light. The light is here and it shines back onto the building. The lights in the front of it.
Any questions there?
So on your plan here, is this basically how you're proposing the lights will shine, even if it's different fixtures?
Well, it's just a... Yeah, I mean, it's just an example of what we're thinking, how it would look, and obviously we'll provide enough light for safety that's required and make sure that it's safe for pedestrians to be seen, but at the same time not blare out throughout the whole community.
So on the center plan there, are the mailboxes there in that dark spot in the middle?
Mailboxes will be here, yes.
Okay.
So we'll put a few more lights there.
And the mailboxes, it's not really a covered pergola kind of thing. It's just, there's just some stand boxes with the...
I can speak a little bit more.
Yeah,
we... Go ahead and come to the...
Nick Hagan with Wiseman Design Group. When we zoom in more to the open space, there's two mailbox structures that are being proposed. That would be partially kind of completely covered with a roof for full weather protection, and then we're seeing more like a slatted roof that would bridge the two structures so that there's some sense of cover, but more for light and shadow patterning on the ground. So, yeah, we would add lighting to that important feature.
One quick question. What are the little lights that are those little low-voltage lights that are in the center of the park towards the end?
That's showing, yeah, the catenary string lights above that end of the park.
So, how does the mail deliver to these mailboxes? Does a mail truck doesn't go in and drive into the cross and the mailman put it in that way, or how does it done?
They would be able to kind of pull off to the side and be able to load up the mailboxes.
So the mailman doesn't have direct access to the boxes?
To drive
from
up
the vehicle.
Physically, yeah. We were... Looking at the mailbox is more of a social gathering hub rather than dispersing them around the site.
Anything else on the lighting from the board? Okay.
I can move into the landscaping now. So changes to the landscaping I'd like to discuss are one, the central park area. Some updates to the paseos, the landscaping between the buildings, landscaping at the alleys. There's a question about the perimeter landscaping adjacent those side facades and what that might look like. And then the landscaping at the southern end of the property. For sort of big picture, the dimensions of that open space have stayed the same. So the roadway dimension, sidewalk dimension surrounding it are as you saw last time. In the lower southern half, we're still looking at a kind of an outdoor living room space, which had those overhead lights that would have some kind of wood surround to give it a sense of enclosure. Areas for outdoor furniture, kind of living room style furniture, perhaps a fire pit. We're looking at perhaps some countertops and other built-in amenities that would be part of that southern space.
That's the one that's labeled Park Plaza?
That's the one labeled Park Plaza, yeah. That's this southern space right here. And then in the middle of that open, our open park area is the mailbox structures. So again, we're showing the two white rectangles would be the structures themselves. And we orientated them that way so that there's good east-west connectivity through the park, as well as this north-south connectivity. And so we're saying that western and eastern portions of those would be fully covered, and then that the center piece between them would be more of a slatted structure. Some other changes to that open space. We've gotten rid of the concept of that wood fence that we kind of heard strongly from the board that closed it off too much to the residences. We still have some concerns about, some safety. And so what we propose now is the edges of that park space would be bounded by either some built-in furniture, which might be like this lower right-hand photo there, where it could be a concrete bench with wood tops to make it a little bit warmer and more inviting. So that might be a series of these benches that flank the grass spaces. And then we'd use landscaping with that, ornamental grasses, perennials, shrub massings to buffer that edge. But there'd be pass-throughs on either side of those benches to allow people to walk through from the sidewalk. And so there's real kind of porosity, a lot more porosity to this site than we had before when you saw it. We've taken out the garden boxes that were at the northern end before. We're just seeing that as simply a larger built-in seating area at the top, a little bit more of a landscape feature at the northern end of that open space. And then here's a few perspective drawings of that. This would be looking at that outdoor living room, the top photo up here. You can see the surround, and that would bleed into the lawn area. This is kind of what that might feel like within that space, that center picture there. And then that last image, it's kind of what both ends of that open space might feel like with that lawn area. You can see to the side what the benches would look like, some of that planting. That planting bed is about 5 or 6 feet wide, so enough room to do a little bit of layering of planting through there. The other important landscape item that we added to that was a
an inner row of trees. If you recall, we only had an outer section of trees going around the perimeter of the park. So now we have a double row of trees. I think that was a comment and request from the board last time. These pictures here show some of the plantings. And if you guys have questions, you want me to get into detail about specific plant types. But generally speaking, there's deciduous trees flanking the outside, maybe smaller trees kind of on the inner side of the road. A signature conifer. This is actually a deciduous conifer. That might be kind of a unique, iconic tree as you come in the side of Don Redwood. And some smaller scale trees at the southern end of the site. We've added a lot more perennials, ornamental grasses, a lot more textural plants, plants with more seasonal interest, whether it's fall color or flowering or winter branching. There were some comments last time about the planting pellet feeling a little too commercial. So we've tried to give it a lot more residential character than you saw before. And this is illustrated here in the paseos. We still have some kind of feature trees in the middle of the paseo, but we're also sowing some smaller scale, small trees, large shrubs like witch hazels and double file viburnum, things that add some flowering, add some interest to each of the courts, so the residents just kind of feel like they have maybe their own unique garden in front of their home. And again, a lot more textural plants, a lot more variations in color. The question about the perimeter, what we're showing is on either side, kind of an alternating pattern. Along the building facade, columnar trees, we've chosen a fastidiate oak tree that we think would work well in this kind of narrow section. We wanted a deciduous tree that was adjacent to the building so that we wouldn't be blocking all the light into those units, block the light into those windows that are there, but we wanted to soften that facade. And then at the ends, at the alley, at the end of the paseo, we'd have more coniferous evergreen plantings. So there'd be kind of a rhythm of, you know, evergreen and deciduous trees along either side of the project. This is just some character images trying to, you know, last time I think you saw some of these perspective drawings that showed lawn in the paseos. That was confusing. This helps to illustrate, yeah.
So on the boundary, on the eastern boundary, for instance, when you go to the north from the part that you were just showing, mm-hmm. will these trees continue in the same pattern? Or?
Yeah.
It's narrow? Where it's down?
Yeah, where it's that narrow slot. Yeah. And if we go back to that overall landscape drawing, you can start to see that patterning. We might want to vary that even a little bit further, but still that same concept of deciduous columnar trees and evergreen trees to break up the massing and complement the massing of the buildings. So then again, this is, you know, trying to illustrate the best we could with our Photoshop tools what some of the planting character would look like with things of different scale, different color, different massing. If you look closely at the pictures, we're probably not doing lots of tulips, but I think it gives the idea that we're trying to portray. On these, we intentionally grayed out the building facade, so just to focus on the landscaping, so the colors of the buildings aren't representative. It's just the massing is, but not the buildings. And then finally, along the southern property, folks went out and met with the neighbors, got the trees along there, surveyed. So in that top plan view, we can show where those existing trees are in relation to the property. We've actually reduced the number of retaining walls from 3 down to 2. We did that so that we could start the upper wall further from the property line. That's to save those existing trees that are there. Remove that wall so it's outside of the drip zone of those trees. You know, the trade-off was those walls got a little bit taller. I think we've worked with the team to try and still have a lot of room at the base of the wall to get some plantings in front of the wall between the wall and the sidewalk. We're looking at growing vines up the wall itself, columnar plantings in a variety of patterns to kind of break up the massing of that wall. And I think you can start to see that illustrated in the plan view, where it's kind of a different series of plantings. We'll probably also start looking at wall textures.
Tell me exactly, what are your columnar plantings? Which ones on your scheme there are the columnar plantings?
So on this scheme, so we have the evergreen trees are the Hogan cedars.
So, and those are just along the property line.
Those are along the property line here. We have some of the vine maples that will grow up and be columnar, not to the degree that the oak trees would be, but something that's sort of a little lower scale. So we're starting to tear down, but that would be something that grows taller than the wall itself, and would have some vertical branching. So we have the vine maples that would do that. The dogwood trees would have that same kind of verticality to them. So that's what we're looking at. Did that answer your question about?
Yeah.
So the walls themselves are truly vertical. Tied back, or how and what are those?
I'll let the engineer speak to the walls.
Okay.
Justin Goro, BCRA civil engineer. We're looking at soldier pile walls right now.
Okay.
And so yes, they would be pretty close to vertical. Sure. And again, that's Nick. What Nick already alluded to is we're doing this to have minimal impact on neighboring properties and give us more of a buffer going from the property line into the site.
So the person walking right there, if he doesn't see vegetation, he sees what facing on the walls themselves.
We haven't totally gotten that far, but it will be. My guess is it'll be some sort of concrete facing that will look like a wall.
Okay.
You have other landscape comments, specifically while I'm up here? I think that's kind of the end of our updated presentation.
I had a question. I don't know if this goes back to the architecture or not. The fence that on both the east and the west, and the nature of that shows up in the revised elevations. What is that fence?
I think we just had a placeholder.
We have there's areas where we have some retainage where we would need a fence. I think that, you know, it would want to be it's probably something 6 foot height, as substantial in its design, whether it's kind of heavy wood. I don't know whether it had any kind of additional material like steel framing or anything like that. We haven't got that far.
Question. So the requirement, is there a requirement for a fence on these property lines full length?
I don't think there would be a requirement for that on the east or family. No, because it's not a required landscape buffer along those areas. So
I think we're feeling well with the nature of those properties right now that, you know, a fence would be a good thing.
Any other landscaping or any other questions from us to the applicant? Okay. Now would be the time for anyone in the audience who wishes to speak directly to this project. Please step forward, and we've got 3 minutes, but we're often a little lenient on that if it is necessary. Anyone? Just give us name and address.
Hey, good evening. Jeff Jackson, president of Eastside Subaru, which is 11803 116th Street. Wanted to visit in reference to the change in the driveway. This is, we were informed of this by our landlord. It would be a significant negative outcome for us. Right now, of the current driveway, enters directly into our service lane for service business to be completed, and 4 to 8 cars queue there to enter into the just completed service space. And the new proposal that we were shown has kind of an angle or sharper angle to come in there, which would prevent that queuing. And then if there was queuing, it would prevent access to our lot in general. So, you know, we have significant traffic in the morning with drop-offs and things like that. So we think that the design under consideration would cause a lot of problems for us in that regard. Secondly, we are currently closed off to the property adjacent to us, which we feel to be a good thing because we have so much foot traffic on our lot. You know, customers and employees always showing, demonstrating vehicles, taking things in and out of the cars. So a lot of foot traffic. Our concern is if that was opened up to a property with any level of traffic at all, it would be a real safety issue for us, particularly if the exit, the shared exit was going to be backed up. We feel like people would try and come through our property to get to our second exit on 116th on the east side of our property. So I think we need to explore. We're not sure how those decisions are made or, you know, if it, to the extent we have a seat at that table. But it's a concern of ours that we wanted to express to you.
So have you talked about these concerns with your landlord?
Yes. Our landlord sent us the drawing and asked mm-hmm. for our approval, and I responded saying that I understood the request, but these were our concerns, and so did not give him approval in that email.
Can we pull it up on the map?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy?
Was going to be addressed.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just so we're 100% clear, can you just laser point exactly what he's talking about?
Yeah. So currently, that's currently our primary driveway for service, and you can see it enters directly into that little pop out of our business, which is our service lane. So that's where we have two rows of cars that line up into that service lane every morning of 4 to 8 vehicles. So that's the current configuration, which is we designed the building to work around that configuration. The proposed configuration, as I understand it, is really just to give us access to the one in the yellow shading there, which then creates a curve, which would be an issue, as well as opening us up to the adjacent property.
And Tony, would you mind going through again what the... why this came up, why it was pushed to gang these together?
Well, yeah, so the requirement is, the original requirement is there needs to be, I think it was 150 feet of separation between the driveways. So that westernmost driveway access to Subaru, this project, Vries, would have to be 150 feet away from that. So in lieu of that, they looked at this idea of consolidating the two driveways into one, so then you would not have to have that separation. They would have the separation basically already from the one on the east, or I'm sorry, the east side of the property. So, and then again, to also, there's going to be a potential future road connection to the north.
So don't both properties have to agree to that?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. And so, you know, that's something that we'll, they'll have to design and work and figure out between the two property owners. I would assume that more of a civil issue. To
and the reason that...
Go ahead.
The reason that the Varese driveway couldn't be further west was because of grade?
Yeah, there's significant... As you go up that hillside, it gets pretty... There's pretty significant grade. I mean, the applicant probably could talk to it a little bit more, but is this
redesign triggered because Varese is proposing a change to their curb cut, or could they leave it as is and is grandfathered in to that 150? Or are they having to redesign it if they do any development on this?
Yeah, I think it's the amount of redevelopment that's occurring. It's tripping the new requirements. I can't speak, it's a transportation issue, mm-hmm. but that's kind of my understanding is that's the amount of development that's occurring on the site is requiring the relocation or to address this issue, I guess.
And don't we still have the issue of, is this Pump It Up?
Yes.
They still, so all three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they have an easement from 116th over the subject property to get to their property. And that's another, there's kind of that other thing at play too, is that if you move it to the center, then it makes access difficult onto their properties as well. So,
what's at the rear? Do you know, Tim?
The rear
of the Pump It Up building.
Oh, back here.
Yeah.
Is it I understand all? It's a warehouse use. I don't know exact use, but
do they have 18-wheelers? I know they have box trucks and stuff that go through there.
Yes.
There's 18-wheelers. I'd like to see a little bit of detail about the dimensions and kind of the curb radiuses on the northwest corner of the site, because, you know, an 18-wheeler maybe could get through this turn if it's cutting that corner, but if you dedicate half of that width for incoming or outgoing, you know, I'm thinking about incoming, outgoing, if that's an 18-wheeler, that's going to be a really tough turn. So I'd like to see some dimensions, information about that. But yeah, then we're creating another easement to the Subaru lot too. You could end up getting queuing on the Varese site, you know, if there is a lot of turns coming in and out, you know, like the president's saying.
The Saturday traffic coming out of the birthday parties at Pump It Up is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just perfect storm of, and I can see exactly, oh, this is clogged up, let's just zip through Subaru and get to their east driveway cut. So I don't know the answer other than we don't have it and it's not up to us.
Yeah.
What is the
actual grade transition at the northwest corner of the site from 116?
I think it's close to 10 feet.
It's pretty big.
I don't want to mess up meeting protocol, but I think I can answer a lot of the questions and concerns. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I can hand out, again, I'm hoping this is cool. I'm anticipating this might be a question. I have handouts.
Perfect.
And I'll take my seat, but feel free to call me up with any questions.
Okay.
Try to go through these one by one here. And I'll pause a second so everybody can get something in front of them.
It's about this connection here and turns into here.
Are these all the same?
Yeah.
Yes, they're all the same.
Now, first question is the easement on the northwest corner. I'm assuming that this curb cut falls within that easement?
On the northwest, the curb cut going to Pump It Up?
Yes.
Yes, or very close.
So you don't have to provide anything more for an 18-wheeler, but...
This, we believe that this layout does. That's why you see the big, wide, sweeping radii coming off of 116th. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure a fire truck could turn in there as well as a large service truck.
And how wide is that road?
Minimum required is 24. I believe we are either or 26 or 28. The drawing you have is scalable.
Mm-hmm. And what's the internal radius of this one curb that's next to building B?
I'm guessing it's 20, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
And the radius for the entrance to the site, not along 116th, but inside the drive access. So if someone were, say, turning into or out from the Subaru, what's the radius of that curve?
It looks like 10 or 15, 10? But again, I'm eyeballing it. We've analyzed this. There's a program specific in CAD to do turning movements, and we've run this and feel confident this will work.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the thing I'm struggling with here is that it appears that you've worked out the access to this site and to the warehouse to the west. But because of potential development on 116th, the Subaru dealer's access is being...
This solution was born out of a meeting with Tony, with myself, and with the city traffic engineer. And Tony already mentioned this, but we're dealing with several constraints. One constraint is that these two driveways, as they sit right now, are not in conformance with city policy. City policy is these driveways need to be 150 feet apart. So that's one issue. A second issue is that our development needs to take into consideration a new roadway that could punch down roughly in this area. We don't know exactly where it will be in the future, but we're needing to anticipate it will be here. So we need to be roughly 150 feet from that as well. So what we worked out with the city engineer, the traffic engineer, is that by taking our access and moving it more this way is very problematic, and I've showed that in engineering language. I'll try to interpret that. We're dropping around 8 feet to get down to grade. So if we do that, we're creating a large ramp in the center of the site that will then block the access, and then we won't be utilizing the access easement, which is problematic to pump it up and the facility on the west. So with that constraint, what we came up with was combining these two driveways on the Veriz site, which solves the current situation, which is nonconformance with 150 driveways within 150 feet of each other. And then in the future, it is a little bit farther away, from what will be likely a signalized intersection in the future. And at that point, this driveway will then have to be dealt with. This would have been a problem anyways when the signal comes in.
I mean, I guess I have some questions. Is that unfortunately the burden to make this work is being placed on the owners of the property to the east, and I don't know how that's even in our purview, right? I mean, it's
well,
pretty,
especially
it's
if they have to come into agreement with each other. We can't be in the middle of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unfortunate that an existing working business is having to change their operations to make this.
And what's the width of this curb cut at 116th?
The driveway throat?
Yes.
Or
if someone were walking across the sidewalk, I'm just wondering, you know, for a pedestrian who would be walking down 116th.
Sorry, I just want to make sure I understand your question.
Yeah.
Are you talking here?
Yes. Yeah, at the widest point.
The widest point.
But it seems like it's a private property. Property right.
50 feet or more?
Design issue and not even a planning issue. I mean, there would be a way. You could take a building out and you could get down into the site.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's maybe more like 40 feet from curb to curb.
Yeah.
Take 60 feet to do a speed ramp down 9, so mm-hmm. they could get down into the site. They just use mm-hmm. some of their yield, but I don't see how we can even discuss this point. Yes. I feel really bad for.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there's a Tony SEPA review that will be coming out, or mm-hmm. a traffic study or something mm-hmm. the like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, I agree that this is the most sensible solution that checks most of the boxes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good solution that we're all okay with. The gentleman from Subaru raises, some valid points, and I'm also concerned about pedestrian foot traffic, you know, that's going to be walking through. We're now forcing two adjacent lots worth of cars, some of them very large and some of them very numerous on either side, to be going through one driveway, and also proposing to have a lot of people live next to that. And that's going to be a lot of walkers, especially because they've touted how close it is to the Cross-Kirkland corridor and how it's, proposed, kind of high density or medium density area in the future. So I would like to see some conclusions from the SEPA and traffic study and what they predict going through here, but I have concerns about it as a pedestrian kind of walkable space. I'm not sure what the best solution is. Maybe this ends up being it, but is there any kind of timeline on what the city projects with the road on that kind of north side of 116?
I believe that property is currently under contract with Wolf Properties for redevelopment as mixed use, or as an apartment residential project. You can't see it because it's just off of that slide, but half of the street has been dedicated on the east property line there, where somebody was indicating earlier. So it's just making the connection from A to B. So it is in the city's capital improvement program and designated in the comprehensive plan as happening. So at some point, if it didn't happen before private development funded it, the city would potentially do it. But right now, in all likelihood, that would be funded by private development in the next year.
I know we kind of slipped out of the question and answer portion of tonight's discussion. I'll wear the hat of Subaru, and I would say if this joint combined access is getting forced on us, I would say let's just close off the west access to Subaru and re-educate the customers and say that we've got one driveway cut to the east. Now, if that becomes an issue in the future when that's too close to a future signalized intersection, then I don't know what we do. Maybe we leave it as a possibility to open it up, but
I don't see how we can even suggest, though, that a neighboring property has to change their driveway.
If the owner agrees to it, though,
yeah, I think that's the point.
Say no.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's really a SEPA issue, traffic safety issue, that nobody's forcing the adjoining property owner to agree to it. Apparently, there's a private discussion happening between two property owners, and if Subaru has lease rights to leverage their owner differently, then that will all play out in the private arena. It's really
okay.
I'm just concerned about the pedestrian traffic. If the owner agrees to it, then the owner agrees to it, but I'm concerned about that throat and the amount of, and type of traffic that's going to be traveling through there.
Well, I think that from a design we're not done.
No, we're technically not. Let's go ahead. Any other members of the audience who wish to speak, please step forward, name and address. And
hi, my name is Leo Gilbert, 11328 116th Place Northeast. I'm kind of on the southwest of the southern border there of the property. First, I'd like to thank the applicant, which I know is a diverse group, but two of their members have already been out to my property, Eric and Andy to look at the trees in the southern borderline, and they've heard my concerns, and I definitely appreciate that. The trees that would be affecting me are fairly large. I'm guessing 50 to 60 feet tall. I have a two-story house on that southern border, and so the loss of those trees would be significant in terms of privacy, whether it's noise or light. Especially, there was a slide that you showed earlier that you had changed, possibly putting some windows up at the very top. Those, if that's on the southern border, that's just going to look right into my backyard. Okay, there could still be light coming through those, which would be far above the fence line and would potentially light my backyard. Talking with Eric a little bit, there are two species of trees that I recommended to him that could be planted along that southern border, and he said he was going to pass that along to, was it the arborist or the landscape designer? I don't know if they went to, but there are species of trees that... that if you do have to remove the trees that are already there, that will grow quickly, they'll grow tall and dense. And I just want to go on record as strongly recommending one of those two species for that southern line if they do have to remove these evergreens that are there, because I am concerned about the significant impact to my privacy on the south there. The second story of my house especially will just be bathed in light.
Those species are?
One is called a Leland cypress, and the other is, I think it's a THUGA, Tuja Green Giant, I believe is what they're called.
Thuja.
Thuja, okay, yeah, the J would be silent. Thuja Green Giant, I believe is what they're called. Okay. And I have a friend who works with large trees and talked to him about this situation, and those two species were what he recommended to me. So I passed that along to Eric, and I hope that's taken into consideration. Okay.
Thank you, Leo. Anybody else wants to speak directly to this project? Okay. Seeing, hearing none, let's jump into deliberation board. I assume we'll just do it and take no break. Yes. Okay. So let's, I know we did ask questions as we went through it, but let's kind of jump back to the start and I guess start with the materials was the first one that we, if I'm not mistaken, that we looked at. Brad, you want to start?
Yeah. I think the modulation along that east wall that's facing Subaru, I think that's much improved from the original design, you know, especially how they furred it out and kind of had some clear stories. They didn't just kind of add a more mix of material. They actually did kind of change the depth of some of those faces, so I'm pleased with that. I would highly encourage more use of the burnt orange. You know, the palette's pretty monotone, and they said that they were considering switching a lot of that to maybe to another gray on some of the buildings. I'm not sure how in support of that I am, because, I don't know, I just feel like there's, gray and a slightly grayer gray and light gray. So, yeah, color would be better. I think it would just make it a little warmer space, you know, a bit more habitable for the residents. The only other question, considering some of the, you know, the comments from the audience, I would ask what sort of lighting is proposed along the south edge? If you look at the lighting plan, it is showing some. I don't know if those are just kind of like at ground level building lights or if they're proposing any kind of raised pedestrian lights, but I wouldn't want any of that to spill out into the backyard of the residents to the south. I do think that the perimeter landscape and furniture is a much more successful barrier than just providing the wooden fence. So I'm glad that they've responded to those comments. And yeah, that's it for now.
Okay, Dave?
So we're just talking colors?
We can do colors, and then we can come back and meander if we want to. That's fine.
To me, I'm going to drive around and look for stark white. I think the white is very strong, and I'm apprehensive about that. So that's all I have on colors and materials.
Susan?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of comment about color. I agree with Brad that East Side is, has improved. I also agree that maybe another color rather than another gray as the alternate pop of color, so that really are, there are pops of color, might be something to consider. And then this is a really minor thing, but so the downspouts will match the color that they're going across, but when they go down, they're going to go across three colors, and I think there's nothing worse than downspout paint in three colors, so I would urge you to pick a dark bronze or something that's, you know, constant. Downspouts are, you know, they're our friends. They get the water into the ground, so I don't mind them. And then the fence, you know, this is where I kind of differ from, you know, that I think if we were against single family, I think our code actually says wood fences and chain link is not allowed or something, but I don't know how everybody else feels. At least if you have like a black chain link fence, you get to see the green behind it instead of...
I like black chain link.
Yeah, and then...
And plus for the longevity, rather than that fence, especially if it's not high quality.
Exactly.
It ends up, you get the wave and, you know, over time.
Yeah, I think the wood fences actually do more harm than good aesthetically. And, you know, it's a long straight run. And at least if it was open, we'd see the plantings behind it, you know, so, yeah.
Oh, I hate to.
We can't.
I think chain link fencing is a prohibited material in design districts.
But didn't you say that no fence is required?
No fence is required. You don't have to fence it.
But if you do fence, you can't.
Yeah. It's kind of a contrast there.
Well, what else?
I mean, there may be other kinds of open fencing that would achieve that.
Because the wood just doesn't, you know, 5 years later, it looks worse than no fence.
Well, especially if one side has plant material and the other side's just open.
So how do you feel about the east wall in general, the treatment?
Well, I think it's going to benefit from that landscaping, and that's where I look at these elevations, and I don't get to see the relief of the landscaping, and then there's this, you know, long and solid fence, which I think is going to harm the appearance of the project. It's going to make it worse. So, you know, it blocks the breaks in the buildings to the paseos. So, I guess it's a dilemma.
But the wall, the wall effect itself is a concern that I have. It may be, I mean, that's pretty prominent, visible from from the east, and it may be a while before the development takes place. And the changes that were made here, many of them are helpful. Again, I have trouble with the bright white face as drawing attention to what I think is not an attractive feature of overall development.
But can we pull up that slide of the east wall?
Yeah, I guess I want to back up to Dave. You know, I think that the most successful parts of the project are the sales, the detail is nice, the scale is nice, and that center area. And here, because there's no landscape shown on these elevations, we're not seeing that green break. I mean, I wish there were more paseos than alleys, but
yeah.
That's been a problem from the beginning of the
show. I actually agree with Dave. I think the white accentuates, instead of breaking up the monotony of the buildings, I think it actually accentuates the flatness, and it's going to stand out.
How do you feel about the white on page
2 and 12 where it's the white frames. So it's not, it's more of a trim.
So it's an accent then. It looks nice.
Okay. So it's not all white. It's,
yeah. It's just such a large area of white. That, I mean, you can see on the front of the building, in looking at this, the front, it looks nice.
Mm. Well, maybe then.
I think just a color change may improve that.
Well, I was going to say, or maybe there's more of the, on the side, there's more of these slender elements utilized around the pot, the bays, instead of just flat planes. Maybe the white becomes a tracery.
Yeah. I think on, you know, the two white units there, I think we're back to just a very flat wall.
I can see that. Personally, I don't think white in itself is problematic.
No.
But I could see where the proportion of those white elements might be of issue.
What if on that second building back, we just reverse it and have the little pokey out be white and the larger mass of the wall be not necessarily that brick red, but maybe a, you know,
maybe that's another the gray color scheme or the other color scheme.
Yeah, the other color scheme that that may appear. I mean, personally, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't see a possibility of a roof form change or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's unlimited. I say unlimited. This is huge amount of allowable height on this parcel. And even if it's a faked in something or other, but I mean, I can see certainly even on that, on the P7, the plan 7, which is really small little units, if that had, you know, a vaulted, you know, quote, northwesty gable form at the end of it that gave them a cool loft or a mezzanine or something in there with really, you know, tall ceilings, that really starts to break it up, and you don't have to rely on just these, you know, swaths of color, or at most, it looks like maybe a 6 or 8 inch, I'll call it Audi, you know, that gets flashed at the top of it, and that's it. So I was looking at that as an opportunity lost, but if that square footage cannot be compromised and staggering the roof line cannot be compromised, then we have to do it with color. I kind of agree that white is going to start to look like, you know, get the projector out and start, you know, putting up movies or something on it. And even if it's the contrasting reglet colors rather than painted out, that may help a little bit. But boy, oh boy, that panel siding is really hard to program down to the last inch unless you do it just, you know, really, I want to say anally, where you just specify exact pieces of 4x8, 4x9, 4x10, and it has to work with the windows and et cetera, et cetera. So it's much easier to just put it up. It's yellow, you spray it, and it's one color, and the reglets get colored, and it becomes one, you know, smooth plane. So anyway, the side that we don't see is the west side, which doesn't have buildings, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 step back to the 7 feet. There is going to be some effect generated from that minor little setback difference. And on the east side, when we climb up with the southern portion of Subaru, we end up with effectively two-story buildings from there on back, which, yeah, we don't see from the street, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen next door eventually. So I guess if we don't get any changes in roofs, then we just figure out with colors and minor little poke outs and see if that works. I do have to say I was very pleased to see the changes to the central courtyard. I think that works a lot better than what we'd seen previously.
It's much more engaging.
More engaging. The only thing that I do, and I didn't ask it at the time, but it appears that the only way to access the benches, or are those little walkways that we can, we don't have to go to the mailbox lot and then move north or south, or do we?
On either side of the benches, they were going to have.
There is a walk.
There's a way to get in.
And rather than tromping through the planting bed.
There would be walk.
There would be. Thank you. Okay. I missed that part of it. And I can see it somewhat on the drawings, but I couldn't really tell. But I mean, I can see the mailboxes in the middle of the long cigar works real well in engaging the community. You always meet and greet people because when the truck comes by, people dash out of their units and go and get their mail for the day. I think that works real well. Other thoughts on the courtyard?
The only thing I had is on the lighting scheme, it seemed like the ends of the park were incredibly dark.
Yeah, I think the slides showed better than the prints we got in the packets.
Even on the slide, it just
was there nothing?
Like,
okay.
It was the, you know, they should kind of know, okay, this is the end. And then...
I was just thinking, so something, there's the big signature redwood at the entrance. So something on the sides of that? Or
I just thought that, in and really, it's not even that big of a deal, but it should.
Okay.
Tree should probably be lit,
yeah.
And that would be that feature down up there, and then at the other end.
Even lighting up the uplighting the three little trees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do it.
Tim.
Yes.
You had Carolyn and Nolan sent.
Yes, that's right.
Comments in.
As I recall, Nolan's comment was that he was generally pleased with the courtyard, but was still a little bit troubled by the side elevations on page 13. Says there's still a repetitive pattern with no parapet height modulation to break up this long visible side of the project. These effects are achieved on building fronts, but the sides seem to be treated as an afterthought. They deserve further treatment slash study. He liked the park plan, looks much improved. Plant palette looks unchanged and continues to be generic. I don't know. I think he was specifically thinking we would see sizes of stuff to be installed and all that. Scott, is that something that you expect
no,
at this point? Or
I would expect before we okay this plan that
okay.
we know what sizes the trees are, how many actually are going to be installed. We don't want to be surprised like we were on a couple other projects where the stuff was 4-inch.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I think that's what.
And a
we're
better
nervous.
Key to what's being planted where, having a number on a single plant where you have to really search to find it, and we have no idea what the plantings are. The trees are labeled, but.
Scott, I wanted to ask you, Scott, about the layers of plantings on the south in the stepped, 6-foot stepped walls. Do we, I mean, will this be viable from a light?
Oh, yeah. Standpoint? And the types of plants they picked are very, they picked well
mm-hmm.
for light situations. The vine maples are going to grow just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
My comment on it is, you know, you said, oh, well, they're all very calm there, and they're going to, actually, no, they're all very shrubby. I mean, and when you say dogwood, realize this is a shrub dogwood. This isn't a dogwood tree like you're thinking. And, you know, Nolan hit the nail on the head. It's beyond generic.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the comments last time I said was, you know, I didn't mean industrial or commercial, and to make it more residential, it was to get some variance in here. There is an utter lack of evergreen. I mean, it's just... there's a, in the park, there's nothing. There's no evergreen tree in the park area, which I can understand you want to limit it for, you know, sight and, you know, but you can have columnar trees. You can have green arrow, you know, weeping Alaskan cedar. You can have weeping sequoia. You can have, you know, many of the cedruses are very tall and narrow that will work with these buildings. But even if you look at what they've done on the borders, it's, if you look at the way it's drawn, and you got to remember these trees, the way they're drawn on this diagram, they're showing them gigantic. They're not going to be this big, and it would take quite a while. Those are Katsura trees around the rim there, and they're really showing as like a very large, you know, graceful tree. They're going to be more column-like, and Katsura trees in time can get large, but not initially. So it's, and even, I mean, really, even look at the slide they just put up, it's very green. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just all going to be blending together very much so. And I don't feel right now that we're going to get, we're not being good neighbors. We're not kind of softening and screening the buildings. There's going to be tall buildings, and it's, I think they need to seriously look at. And I can understand some of the plant material they picked because of maintenance. It's easy to maintain. A lot of the stuff never needs trimming. They can just put it in and not worry about it so much. But there are other plant materials that you can still get that. And they need more color in the foliage and more texture. And they need a greater variance between evergreen and deciduous, and they need to soften the buildings with a little bit more. The evergreen that they have used, Hogan cedar, is actually really good, and it's very similar to the cedar that Thuya is cedar, so it's the same, you know, that the neighbor was requesting. So that's a pretty good, Hogan cedar is a great cedar. It does grow fairly fast and it's very dense, but that's the only thing they've used. And then you have, you know, the tall deciduous trees, but you have a cedar and like eight deciduous trees in a row and then a cedar. This isn't going to be a great screen. And it's not going to soften the buildings very much.
And can those work in a 7-foot side yard?
You know, the Hogan cedar actually can, over time, get wide. They might have been a little better to pick something that grows a little narrower and taller. Mm-hmm. You can do a Leilandi cypress, but you're going to be trimming it.
Yeah.
The Leilandi cypress takes to trimming a lot better than a Hogan cedar does.
They grow pretty fast.
Yes, correct. They grow very fast. Yeah. But you can keep a Leilandi cypress, you know, 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a planting pattern on the sides that picks up on the breaks between buildings somehow, so that it's
screening
the buildings, but then open so you get views. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, it's kind of funny because they've actually kind of done the opposite, where the deciduous is along the buildings and then the evergreen is in between the breaks. So it's and they have some low in between, but I think they can just do a lot better. I mean, they, and some of the pictures too, like they show a Hicks U there. Well, it's trimmed like it's a pyramid, and that's not the way a Hicks U is going to grow. It's, you know, it's a shrubby yew tree. And, you know, just the fact that they used a Cunningham's white rhododendron, that's like the Walmart of rhododendrons. You have thousands to pick from. You pick the fast, cheap, easy rhododendron that is in every house up on the plateau. So it is very generic.
Carolyn, she was pleased with the landscaping, especially around the residential units. I'm assuming she's talking about the paseos,
yeah,
and that's the front doors of each of the units, which I agree, I think that works quite well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the structure's great. So I'm not knocking the landscape palette. And you know what? That's like the color of a house. So you have to, the structure and the paseos and the walkways, the patio, the park, I think they've done a bang-up job.
So we're still concerned with the edges.
Yeah. The edges where we push all the buildings out to the edges as close as we can get, and then we're left with how do we mitigate that little leftover strip of side yard. Carolyn did bring up one item in here that commenting about the timber frame at the outdoor room, the park plaza, suggesting that it's the timber frame is not urban in character. We didn't see a whole lot of definition other than some generic brown, you know, posts and beams with no indication, you know, exactly what it is. And I don't know if it, obviously it's framework for cables that suspend the glitter lights, and which I think can work quite well, but I kind of, when Carolyn brings it up, it does bring up a good point. What is that structure? How does it relate to other things? Thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it can kind of be warm looking.
Out of just wood.
Yeah, I don't really take issue with it. I don't view it as like a structure as some of the previous, you know, pavilion buildings we've reviewed. I look at it more as just, you know, kind of a trellis to, you know, kind of create a border around the seating area. And
I actually like the fact that it's not a trellis.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, it's not.
There's no slats. There's nothing.
I like that it leaves it open too.
I mean, if it's checked beams that are warped and frayed, then maybe not so much. But I mean, the detailing of that would actually be very interesting to see.
Would be. With a very sort of upscale urban look to the buildings, typically. I mean, we don't have sloped roofs. We've got lots of industrial looking colors. Maybe this isn't a wood structure, but something very, you know, delicate rather than just, you know, Corten box beams or something, but maybe something a little bit more constructed and designed may be appropriate.
I sort of saw it as a placeholder, not necessarily designed yet. So.
Okay.
Because I don't think you can actually achieve this quite the way it's drawn.
Carolyn also mentioned building elevations facing property lines still feel unresolved to me. Contrasting colors are harsh and the massing monolithic. So kind of echoed a little bit of what the rest of us were.
And we seem to be just sort of, you know, there's been some developments here. We encourage not such a contrast with the light colors and then fall back on the hope that vegetation is going to help.
Is it going to solve it?
Yeah. I think it's that, you know, your point about the heights, Tim, is interesting. I mean, when you look on the page 12 and then you look over on the renderings, that some of the ones that have are the internal views, there appears to be much more variation in height.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get over to the east, it disappears, which is sort of inconsistent with, you know, when you look at some of the views that kind of capture a bit of a roof plan. It seems like there's more modulation to the roof than what's shown in those elevations. So either, I don't know, something isn't, they're not quite in sync, I don't think. I wonder, is that a question for the applicant? Do we have as much variation as we see in some of the renderings, say on page 18? Or is it more static, as we see on page 13? Question. it has the look of a project that's squeezed into a 30-foot height limit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, wow, there's no height limit. The height limit is 65 feet. There's all this opportunity for reforms, and it's not being taken advantage of, so.
Well, even the one...
Yeah, like page 32, I guess I was looking at.
Yeah, 32, which...
Maybe these are the highest piece is running along the east. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell.
Well, these, and I still don't understand, because these don't, the buildings here don't seem to match the buildings on the page adjacent to it, page 33. I don't see a, like on the west side, coming off 116th, buildings 3, 4, and 5, or I'm sorry, 3,
right,
is a 5 unit, but maybe I'm maybe they've squeezed 4 in there.
Yeah.
But it does, this, you know, that page 10 sure looks like there's a lot more variation with roofs than I'm seeing on those sides.
And the same if you look at the interior sketches. There's a lot more. And you look on page 35.
Yeah.
And 38, even on the alley, it seems like there's more going on.
You know, some of it's the fact that there are very limited amounts of cantilevering that can happen on those side yards, which they're doing into the alleys and the paseos. But somehow there's, you know, the interior of this thing, which the public probably is not going to see a lot, is really well done. Mm-hmm. Forms the stuff that they're going to see, even from 405, from 120th, from 116th, is the sides. And
right. So, I mean, I think that's to our point, right? There's still a little bit of a concern about the white elements on the side, the static nature of the east and west facades, but we think they've improved.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something to be done with the reforms to help the fence, the landscape?
Yeah.
So
I think probably we're certainly not approving this tonight. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the access too. I mean, we can't address a lot of the issues in play on it, but I do feel like what's happening on this property is that essentially an access road is being created.
Yeah.
Parallel to 116th, that's separating the project from 116th.
Mm-hmm.
I think your point about, you know, pedestrian access is, it has no feeling of pedestrian connection now. You know, it was always tenuous at best with the driveway. I mean, I think our first review of the project, we were looking for a pedestrian connection. Now that we have three, you know, two businesses and all of these new residences all served by a single driveway is, I think it's really tough. So, and I mean, I know that there's a point made of, you know, we can't lose area.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that one, you know, it's not, like I said, it's more about the property, other properties. But it's, I think it's an issue on how it's going to work.
Yeah, at this point, that's my primary. If I had to pick one concern, that's it. Is have pedestrians, you know, move from the site, you know, to the public space while playing Frogger with traffic coming from both sides.
It's really hard to imagine how the people living here will, you know, there's so much, it's just going to be a car-oriented development, unfortunately. People will drive out to go to school or whatever, I think.
And we've certainly heard comments from the public on 116th in general, how horrendous it is traffic-wise, and I can just see somebody at the wrong time of day wants to make a left-hand turn and head west on 116th and will never be able to get out unless there's Good Samaritans on 116th to let them in. And meanwhile, traffic from Pump It Up backs up from the units here back up, and then people say, oh, heck with this, let's go down and try Subaru East.
So the plan, again, Tony, was for a signalized intersection, or that where there was a discussion of that?
Eventually. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some dramatic changes that need to occur with that, how this all works out. I mean, as far as the Subaru, where their connection is. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues there that obviously will have to be sorted out with our transportation division and CIP and everything, the applicants or the developer of that property to the north.
So to what degree should we be worrying about this? I mean, the transportation engineer is going to worry about meeting the codes and functionality and the spacing of entrances, etc. It's really an odd situation where these properties are all connected like this and there's an easement to get across, so it's kind of really odd.
There are guidelines that talk about consolidating curb cuts and having fewer curb cuts, so the direction seems, or I mean the concern seems a little contradictory, but I'm trying to apply it to, so if driveways are consolidated in one driveway, or you know, I guess three driveways are consolidated into one. If that works at the end of the day, the concern you're expressing, how does that translate to the site plan? In addition to the central pedestrian connection that's shown, is there a concern about the PED connection on the east side of the property, how that relates back? I understand the issue with the throat of the driveway, but at the same time, I'm hearing concern about the radius for trucks to get in there, so I'm not sure. And we can talk to transportation about, is that, does that driveway have to be that wide to accommodate the traffic that's going through? So I'm looking for the fixes to the issues that have been identified.
Yeah. It seems to me that the engineers have done their jobs in finding a solution that works for traffic, but now it's kind of the design review board's job to figure out how does that work for pedestrians. So if you're going to, you know, narrow it, trucks can't fit through, so if you widen it, then I want a center kind of median island for pedestrians to kind of be able to stop in. I've seen that at wide intersections before. I'd like to have an idea of how much traffic's going through there, because right now I'm imagining the worst. When the reports come back, you know, we'll have some idea about that.
Looking at this, so this center connection, like this was designed as a pedestrian. You'd be able to come across and walk up, right?
About 8 feet of steps, probably.
Right, but now the slope across, the cross slope there, in the herringbone pattern is 13.5%, and then it's 5.8 up to the sidewalk. So,
because originally we had a sidewalk, if you look up at the building at the northeast, the sidewalk swooped around that and then swooped up to the street. And that was kind of talked about as the main pedestrian access to 116th, and now that's gone.
With Subaru cutting open, we don't get that anymore. So, I mean, certainly somebody from this development that wants to get to 116th to catch a bus or walk someplace probably will go across the patterned center paving, just look both ways and dash across that, and then climb up the stairs to there. But your point is, if they head east to the CKC, they're going across 50 feet worth of right. And then, I mean,
did you say that was 13.5%?
I'm just looking at this. It looks like
That's if.
And that's 38 at the.
That's if it had to come down the center, but it's not going to.
Okay.
Was.
So, but the
reasons that the center doesn't work.
The narrowest dimension on the throat out, you know, to the street itself is 30 feet wide. So it does, is that just one in and one out, or are we doing one out to turn right, one out to make a left-hand turn, and only one in?
Yeah, that's why I want to wait to see what this traffic study says, because they might have to allow multiple lanes for either in or out, and that would change, I don't know, how pedestrians might cross it.
And if it gets even wider, you're right, maybe there's a an island in the middle that separates one in that's wide enough for the semis that are turning right off of 116th.
Mm-hmm. So there's a pedestrian refuge, you mean?
Pedestrian refuge in the middle, you know, enough landscaping to say don't drive here, but not tall enough to obscure it. It is a vexing problem. A lot of it out of our hands, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to progress and at least get out of here by 9, hopefully.
I think we can sum up our guidance for the east and west property lines.
So what would we like to say on the east and the west is more exploration of roof forms as a possibility, or do we think we can get it with color and slight material pop-outs?
I think they should start by showing their alternate color schemes.
Okay.
Show us how the things that they're talking about doing, because I think that will help those views. Well,
showing us a real east elevation and a west elevation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with the alternate schemes, the final color selection, the plantings, because I think that'll go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do feel like, you know, the buildings would benefit from some additional roof modulation along those edges, similar to what we seem to be seeing on all the other three sides. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're fairly happy with the center courtyard for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's an easy one to, and lighting wise, just a confirmation that we know exactly where lights are going and which ones there, which I think we've sort of seen it, but I don't know. Packet gets me totally confused.
I thought the lights that they showed were, I think it's a nice,
nice group. No, it worked really well.
Nice family of lights, and I don't think we want it to be safe for the inhabitants, but we don't want it to be too bright for the people who live up above on the south.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the one concern I did have when Susan, you asked about it, that alley lighting, how does that fixture, how does that luminaire work? And if it is relying on lighting toward the surface on the building to reflect, if it's that black concrete or the brick, zero reflectivity off of that, it's going to be next to worthless in terms of illuminating the area in the alleyway itself. I think there's plenty of cool-looking, you know, industrial-looking fixtures like the front porch light. I mean, we're not looking at fake gas lamp carriage lights kind of looking. There's lots of other things that could be chosen there. So,
I guess it's an intriguing fixture. So I'd
be
interested to see it, but
yeah.
I assume that we can rely on that they want safety for the residents.
Yeah.
So.
I do appreciate that.
There is going to be some light, too, from the individual units.
Mm-hmm. Coming.
Yeah. They have their lighting code, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Photometrics that they have to meet. So.
discussion of the different types of trees to use on the walls, on the like deciduous. The plan was, current plan was to use deciduous in the face of the buildings, and then conifers and the, in the gaps.
No, they have the conifers basically are at the kind of the corners of the buildings, okay. And then it's just deciduous straight down along the along the building.
That was that climbed oak or something.
Yeah, and I just think that I don't really like the tree choices. It's their call on that, but I think that they need a greater variance. They're both the exact same color, green. I just think that there are so many trees out there that you can pick from. I think that we need to just tell them to explore greater variance in what they're doing and realize that this is their chance to soften the buildings.
Okay.
I'm just hoping that this isn't... They haven't explored everything yet.
There are quite a few placeholders.
Yeah.
That we're waiting for further definition on. So in terms of the specific drawings or 3D images or anything, I think just elevations.
Of north, of east and west.
Of the east and west side. One thing I wouldn't mind going back to maybe at least a couple 11 by 17 drawings so we can get a little bigger scale and actually see some of the stuff rather than, I know we started out with that, the very first submittal mm-hmm. was 11 by 17 and then we've gone back to the letter size, which is a little harder to pick up some of the stuff.
Well, I'll tell you too, especially with the landscaping, it's impossible. I really looked at it, and I had a magnifying glass trying to find what number was going to what area. So a landscape key would be highly appreciated.
Yeah. And I guess I would also like to see the building number 3, which was the P7, 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 whatever it is, so that we actually see what that is, and I guess it was a 5 version 2.
But the elevations, well, oh, you mean it?
Well, yeah, just to see if it's, what it looks like when it's viewed from the P7s on the ends of the east and the west, which we don't see.
Right.
They appear to be smaller units, maybe not. Certainly smaller square footage, but they may have I don't think they have any egress windows on those east and west faces because they exist everywhere else with just north and south egress. But they may get clerestories or may not. We don't really know. So, okay. Tony, Jeremy, is that enough summary, do you think? Or?
I think so. I just would like to hear some dialogue with the applicant to make sure we can get this wrapped up in one more meeting.
So is that clear enough to the applicant? Do we have any questions or comments?
Would it be possible for the landscaping to have some dialogue, some correspondence to help the country?
Come up and... Yeah.
Nick Hagan with Wiseman. I don't know. Scott, if you and I want to have a chat or...
I can't outside of this.
Okay.
It's against the rules to contact us outside of this.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping not to fall into a... Okay. I don't want to guess.
Okay.
Specific.
Let me show you just an example, and I'm looking at one of the pages in here that when I went through it really stood out. And, okay, 21. Okay, here's the lower picture. You have these large buildings here. And really, but you have red buds down here, and okay, this is a large area. So that you can soften this with, you know, and I hate to prescribe to you what trees to, you know, because you have a look that you're going for. But
that rendering, I get what you're saying.
Well, and but that's through the whole complex, and the, you know, there is beauty in repetition, but you have these buildings repeating on the property lines, and, you know, just what I was a little bit disappointed in is, like, color. You know, if you had a columnar red tree instead of the, you know, the oak, you know, so...
A beach, you're right.
Yes, a beach, you know, if you, yeah. Without just telling you, or, you know, even some of the cedars, if it was, you know, yellow ribbon cedar or, you know, zebra cedar or something, and you brought in the dynamics of the building into the landscaping, your palette is just... really, when I look at these landscape palettes and I see the same materials that every builder presents to us, every builder brings in vine maples and sandy poppies. And I was like, when we have this palette of thousands of Japanese maples that are out there and that are readily available, why the same too? Especially with the way sangukakus don't age well and, you know, are fairly... tough to get a mature tree. So really some, and also there is a very lack, even in, you know, the Paseos, of it's very deciduous. And, you know, and even in the park, I was looking at, like, you have the dot redwood, and first I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be very, you know, cool if you actually had a sequoia, that, you know, calling your bloom sequoia, and brought in at least one element of evergreen. You know, in some of these courtyard areas too, I mean, I'm looking at one of them you had where you had the Hicksyews, and I couldn't tell. I'm like, when, are you in between these units, are you just putting four Hicksyews? You know, so that level of detail, it would be nice to know what is going in between these units. And I realize this is a huge project, and a lot of times you don't want to get, you know, just a different planning scheme for every area, but just a little greater variety and in foliage colors and textures, something that breaks apart the landscape so we don't have green and then white and gray on the buildings.
Okay, that's helpful.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Also, I'm looking for that surprise.
Yeah.
I'm looking for some blue-gray foliage in there.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, you know, a cedrus, an atlas, or something that, you know, and it doesn't have to be something that is hard to maintain. But, you know, when we see David and I, the Cunningham's way, and you have to agree with me on that.
I agree. I think we're on the same page. So sometimes it's hard with building colors, too. It's like making sure we're speaking the same language. So.
Well, and
I that's the great thing about landscaping, though. It doesn't have to match your buildings.
No, but there's so many choices.
Can I just make sure that we have, that we're clear on what we're doing, if anything, with the driveway? There was a lot of discussion. I didn't hear it come up as a final comment. Tony, I don't know if that's something. I just want to be clear that mm-hmm. we address, if there's something that we need to address, we address it in the final meeting, or if it's something that needs to be dealt with at a staff level, that we're very clear on how we move forward.
If it's, to Susan's point, if it's the central steep ramp down in, then the whole building, everything has to change in that respect. So if it is going to be the single east curb cut that satisfies Pump It Up, this one, and Subaru, then it's out of our hands. I mean, we really have nothing to...
Yeah, it's really not a design review issue, except that there is supposed to be a level of pedestrian orientation for the project.
Right.
Yeah, I would at least like to see some indication of crosswalk, maybe change of material, perhaps plantings or something like that, where they cross that throat. I'm not sure if it's possible, but maybe where the throat comes into the site and narrows, maybe have the sidewalk pull in and cross where it's not as long. You know, they're not crossing as much street pavement.
I'm
not sure
right
if
here.
You're allowed to do that with like, sidewalk codes. But I'd like to get some indication of the pedestrian path crossing that.
Crossing.
Yeah.
Brad, just to make sure I get what you're saying. You're saying here, cross down here,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
come back up.
Maybe that would be a good solution because they're not crossing as, you know, as much of the throat. Yeah, so again, I don't want to prescribe to you how you resolve that, but I'd like to get some indication of the pedestrian path crossing that throat.
And I guess, too, just consistency so that the engineering plan with what looks like it's going to be a pretty substantial retaining wall can also have street trees that can survive and
those will
live
be
there.
So the prescriptive frontage improvements for 116th is, I'm doing this off memory, I believe it's an 8-foot sidewalk with street tree wells.
In that 8 feet?
On the curb side of the 8 feet. So those will be away from the wall quite a bit.
Okay.
And then wall side of the sidewalk will plant with what's appropriate.
Because at this point we're assuming we don't lose any of those guest parking spots that are to the where the grade is. I mean, that's a pretty healthy climb right there, correct?
Yes, that's a very healthy climb.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to max out the guest parking spaces.
Okay. Which, yeah.
Are there bike lanes on 116th?
Yes, there is.
There is.
Yes, because there is the bike lane that goes across the, as you get over the top of CKC and have to line up to get on 405, there's a green bike lane there, I recall.
And where's the nearest bus stop? Is it to the east or west of this on 116th?
I think it's to the west.
To the west?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's good.
How do people walk into here? How do they get their bike into here? How do they get from the bus to here?
Mm-hmm.
How do they get from here to the CKC?
They become very defensive, aggressive
mm-hmm.
pedestrians and bicyclists. Yeah. Okay. Anything else from the applicant that you're concerned, confused? No, nothing. Okay. I assume we'll be continuing the design response conference. So do we? I don't know where my calendar went. There it is. We do have something on the 5th, correct, of December. That's probably way too soon. I guess that's the question, is how much time would you like, or when do you want to do it? We have the December 19th, and then I think we suddenly run into two canceled ones.
February.
We can do specials in January. Is the board here on the 19th of December? I know I will be. Okay. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
Does that seem doable?
Yeah.
We don't have anything else lined up at this point on that night.
Potentially, but we'll have
room. Okay. Because the 5th is just one item at this point, is that right?
Yeah.
The 4:30, the Kirkland Way one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So for that meeting, I would need the materials from the applicant by December 7th. So just make sure that still works for them.
Would this be a case where we can?
Well, we have to send the packet out on the 12th. I mean, actually, you know, we could probably be a little flexible either 7th or the 8th. We could probably do it on the 8th. I just need a day to get the packet to my admin staff that can send it out on Monday.
Tony, could that be clear? We give us a packet?
Do we have to wait?
Just Just the new material?
Yeah, I mean, it would. It just kind of getting everything together.
We have received.
They like me to get it to them a couple days ahead of time.
Is there a way that we can do, to stretch that one, let us receive PDFs that are...
To give them a few more days.
To give it more days, even into that.
If they want.
I mean, in the past, we've...
If you want, you've in the past said you can bring it to the meetings, but on this, if you want something, if you want a little bit of lead time before the meeting to see it, then we can send out just a bare bones packet and post the materials on the website.
So the bare bones packet satisfies the requirements for public notice and all of that, and then we can receive PDFs. So we could do PDFs the 14th or 15th?
As long as they had a nice packet when we got here so we didn't have to print out our...
Yep. Oh, yeah, we would still print.
17.
Yeah.
Does that seem reasonable? A sort of, we met the deadline packet to Tony, and then we could do PDFs on the, updated on the website.
Yeah, I think we should have it on the 12th or 13th if we hope to get it posted by the weekend.
We can make that work.
Okay.
Would you like just a package of how, what we've tried to do is make a package of how we've responded to the comments we've heard? And we tried to do that here, mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys are looking at the whole package, or how do you want us to present it?
I mean, to my mind, it could be the pieces that we've asked for.
I think the pieces that we've asked for.
Yeah, supplement to this.
And I think especially if it's 11 by 17, we see the whole site plan that we can refer to with, this is where this light is, this is where this is.
Yeah, see the elevations and the landscape plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One question I have, though, is if the driveway is unresolved because of outside issues, is there a point of us looking at everything else in the meantime, and they might have to come back once that's resolved?
Well, according to, I mean, so we got a letter from the landlord, the property owner, saying they've agreed
to do this.
Now, I guess it's more of an issue between the property owner and the tenant, and quadrant.
If the plan you see, it kind of blows it through the middle, that's probably a fairly substantial modification to the design of the site, which comes back to you as a, so they may, you may move ahead with this as plan A, and if for some reason it falls apart, then that's a problem for the project.
Yeah, big problems. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that date works. Then December 19th as a continuation on this response conference. Anything else? Okay. So I would certainly entertain a motion to continue this.
Move we continue to December 19th.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we continue to December 19th for Veriz. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. We will see that happen.
So where did we end up?
The administrative thing? Should we take a quick break and come back for that, or is it a real fast? No break. I'm fine.
Otherwise, we can't do the lighting yet.
Okay. Board, do we want to take a quick break? Angela says maybe 15 minutes for the Kirkland Urban. I'd say let's go for it. I'm ready to power through.
They're lucky Subaru agreed.
Right, but
it's about what's coming. I know what's coming on the other side.
What you think,
Angela? Do I just plug this in down here?
No, I think it's because
I'm
having trouble
finding it. No, it was just right here.
I think so, yeah. That should work. I haven't ever been to the this one, but that should be fine.
It makes me really sad. I mean,
your device is ready to use.
I'm amazed that.
We've never seen a mixed-use development with car dealership on the ground floor and five floors of residential above it, have we?
But no, I think it's being driven by the development.
I know. Which is coming down the pipe. Okay.
I won't be able to review.
Angela, is this your baby?
It is.
Okay.
So, I'm sure you remember that we've already looked at Kirkland Urban, and you approved it last year. It's now under construction, and there's been a few changes that need to be made since we started reviewing the plans and actually getting ready to build. So I gave you each a copy of Section 142.50 modifications. It's at your seat. It's just a reminder. It's actually a planning official decision if the changes are minor, but I felt like it was a good idea to just come and show you what we were going to do, see if you had any suggestions. So that's what we're going to do. Just go through these changes. Some are very minor. A couple of them have a little more to them. And I think Pat will just go ahead and present them to
you. Okay. Yeah, this slide's not in your packet, but I just thought it'd be good to kind of reorient people. We kind of took the approach on, we have a rendering that we modified, but in general, we just kind of took a pretty quick approach in terms of showing the existing plan and then what's changed. So we're submitting, we're actually looking at plans that have changed for building F, and so that's the, it's actually called Urban Central right now. So it's an office building, it's got the QFC at the base of it and retail at the second level with office above. And the office portion hasn't changed, really the QFC hasn't changed much. The primary changes on this building have to do with the facade on the second level here, some changes to the stair and the escalator in that location, and some kind of minor building material changes. So with that, I will close this down and go to the presentation. So the first one really is looking at, and this is building F again, it's the second level. We had a facade that was a series of kind of angled steps here. And as we looked at different retail configurations, and they still haven't totally settled down, we were asked to kind of simplify that facade a little bit. So we've gone to, basically we've curved the facade to try to bring it out a little bit closer in this location, and then curve the facade here. It looks like there will be one restaurant in this location and then a series of restaurants along this location here with another one in this location. So part of it was an attempt to bring some of these out a little bit more, but to simplify the facade a little bit and still get a little bit of interest to it. And then the other half of the facade, this is just the second half of that. This was really a desire to bring the entire facade out. So we pulled the entire facade out about eight feet and actually kind of purposely made the seating area here, the plaza area, a little bit narrower. Some of the response we got in taking retail tours and talking with our retail consultant was that if we kind of consolidated the space a little bit and actually brought a little more of the seating out towards the edge here, that would actually help improve things. And also we were having a little bit of trouble with trying to break up the facades with the serrations that we had here. Another element that we've added is a covered seating area out here. So the combination of that covered seating area with bringing the facade out led us to simplify that a little bit. So these are some quick elevations. And again, these this is our working drawing elevations here. Kind of see the change of the facade. It's hard to tell what's happening. We can really kind of move quickly through this and then move to the elevations. A couple of minor changes here. We have the we've talked about the potential trellis element here. I think we're going to do something here. It may not take exactly the same form. It's actually going to be in a further. We've our building permit submittals are in six packages, and that's one of our final packages. So we're still working out the details of that. Part of it will depend on what the different retailers or different restaurants, these are all going to be restaurants here, kind of what they want to do for their seating out there. But the thought is to add a trellis element that will give us opportunity for covered seating as well as to integrate heaters and things like that out towards the building edge, out towards the plaza edge. And the other portion of that facade, again, shows kind of the curvilinear facade here. We've actually curved this facade a little bit around that facade. We've made some minor modifications to the escalator and the stair. We looked at ways of actually trying to make the stair a little bit more inviting, a little bit larger, and we've dropped one of the escalators. We have an up escalator, but not a down escalator. So that allowed us to actually enlarge the stair, make it a little bit wider and a little bit grander. We think it'll lead people to use that stair rather than just take the escalators. And then some minor changes on this facade. We've added some areas of brick at the QFC facade. They are looking at having some type of a roll-up, either not quite garage door, but a pivoting door. And then this would be a seating area that's actually outside. So instead of taking the glass down to the floor line, we're going to have some brick underneath there to kind of provide a little bit more durable surface. And so I apologize. This is these were mislabeled. I took a sheet out and I didn't change the label. So this is actually the original DR6. I've marked it, remarked it in your as I was sitting there, marked it up in your packet. So apologize. This is the original design response conference 6, which was our final design conference. And so you can see the escalator. We've got the stair, the kind of a straight run stair that comes up, has an intermediate landing, and then comes up to the plaza level. We've got our escalator canopy is going to three escalator canopies coming up that way. We've got you can see there's a planter that wraps around this facade. So, and you can see the kind of the stepping of the facades here, the kind of faceting and stepping of the facades. We don't have anything out in this area here. In talking to a lot of the restaurateurs, they like to have the seating out here. So the thought was we take, pull this facade out, do something to cover the seating in that area there. So this is the revised facade. You can see the stair is actually about double the size in terms of width at the base. And we have an intermediate landing. And then we've created another landing here. So we've really broken it up into three pieces. And then we've allowed this upper landing to spill out here. So we replaced some of the planting here with a little bit of an overlook. So there's kind of a bar, kind of a counter here. It's not real wide. It's maybe about 8 feet wide, but kind of a nice place for people to kind of hang out. We think it'll kind of, have people utilize the stair a little bit more. You can kind of see the facade. We try to keep a lot of the same kind of energy of the facade. We like kind of the way this kind of sweeping curve comes around and kind of leads you in. And then you can see the trellis element here. That's over the covered seating area back there. The facade behind is a little more simple, but I think kind of as you look from here, you see this trellis element really kind of catches your eye. This is the a view before from the plaza looking up. You can see we have the up and the down escalator. We had a kind of a wall separating those two with our trellis element sitting on top of it. We were looking at some type of a steel structure with wood cladding on the trellis. We've kept some of that, but in looking at our structural engineer with this, it was getting so big and so massive to actually have the steel support all the extra weight of the wood. We've taken the wood off. It saved us a bit of money, but we're still able to keep the design intent. And then kind of expand the stair here. You can see they had the planter before. And again, part of the reason for this upper planter was to pull that lower level back. Rather than it being 22 feet high, This is 16 feet, and then we have a planter and then a step up. But in the revised scheme, we've actually, this is now an overlook here. So we've allowing another area for people to kind of congregate, look over what's happening below. You can see kind of the feel of the stairs quite a bit different now, opens up quite a bit more. Structure of the canopies here, we still have a steel column in the center. We wrapped it with a series of wood segments around that, so we kind of kept the wood at the top. And we'll probably look at some type of a steel finish, more of a little bit of a kind of a burnished metal type finish on the canopy here. But when we got kind of finally got around to the steel structure, we knew that to make it the canopy as big as it was before, that we'd need to kind of beef up the structure if we had significant amounts of wood on it. And you can see some other subtle changes here. The QFC has asked for some additional windows here. They're going to have some food preparation and food service back here. They didn't want windows at the lower level, but they wanted a little more light in this corner. So we had a solid wall coming all the way up. We've opened that up to some windows coming around. And then you don't see it here, but in below some of the windows on the west facade, there's some brick at the base of that. So you start to see a little bit more of the details. We're putting in kind of some of the bollard fixtures that we have. You get a sense of, the Wooner, kind of the grade that connects both levels there. Another thing we did here, we also took this wall down between the escalators. Instead of a tall wall and then a solid escalator, we actually have glass on the handrails. Try to open that up a little bit. Another change here that's visible in this, I'll go back to the overall perspective here. In the previous perspective, we had an office tower that came from level 3 up through level 8, kind of extruded from the second level base. And as we looked at programming for this building, we were looking for some additional space on this level to accommodate either a larger tenant. We have some tenants that want quite a bit of square footage on that floor, or a conference center. So we've added a section here at level 3. And part of the reason, too, is to really decrease the distance between this. We brought this this retail face out. So we brought this face out a little bit, too, so we didn't have quite as deep a roof level. And it added about 1,800 square feet of space to the third level. And the idea was to keep the language the same, but just pull that out a little bit. We think it adds kind of another level of articulation to the overall massing of it. And that's this illustrates in plan. This is a third floor plan, so you can see what the roof area that we had before. And we brought that roof area out. You can see where the wall was before. We brought it out about 20 to 25 feet towards the roof parapet, and actually increased it on the eastern portion as well. And in doing that, we've taken the we have a restaurant that wanted a little more square footage on this location. So we brought this portion out as well and created a little bit, rather than a straight corner here, we've angled this back and created kind of a backstop here, so that as you look down through here, you have a little bit of a building face to kind of capture there. And this is seen as a seating area for the restaurant in that area. This is a kind of elevation illustrating the before and after. So this was the third floor area that basically aligned with the floors above, and now it's been brought out, so that's been pulled out a little bit. We've also pulled out the retail here. This is where you see there's a break right here, returns back in that location. We've also added one of the consequences of adding this extra space in here is we had enough square footage on this floor that we needed an extra exit. So we've actually added an exterior stair that comes off of the there's a small deck here that comes down and provides an additional exit to that. One other change that we've made, we had precast along the east facade here. This is going to be a Bright Horizons daycare facade. We had precast on this facade, and as it wrapped around the south side facing, again, it's more the south facade is the daycare, and then the above the QFC level. And we actually found that brick was significantly cheaper than precast, so we changed, that was kind of our first choice anyway, so we changed this precast, it was a dark colored precast, to is our iron spot brick that we're using elsewhere. So you can see that the same thing, the precast here has been changed to brick, so our pilasters and the spandrel pieces changed to brick. The one small change in the, it's really fairly insignificant, but this is the daycare play area here. And we're not designing that. They're going to be designing what happens in the interior of that. But they wanted a little more space in that. So we've pulled the planters over a little bit. We had a planter in this location and taking this space here. This will be in future phases will be a parking area. So it'll be a driveway that comes in and some parking spaces here. But to get the parking space in there, they really feel very strongly about having a sidewalk in front of their cars. As the cars pull in here, they take their kids out. They don't want to come in the back of their car and come in that way. They want a sidewalk there. So in order to get their area that they require, and their area is based on the area inside the building. They have to have a certain amount of area, exterior space, given their amount of interior space. So they needed a couple thousand, well, not a couple thousand, but they need about, I think, 250 to 500 square feet more. So we've got a fence here rather than a planter in that location. So the thought is it's kind of a decorative fence. It provides separation, but is still somewhat open. And then the last couple of changes that on the eighth floor of our building, on the upper floor of the building here, location, we've actually pulled out the exterior wall a little bit. We had angled this back, and part of the reason we'd angled this back on the upper floor is that there's on the site are there's a three different height zones in the site, going from highest to middle to lowest, and that height limit actually crosses the building right there. And we thought we had to stay back from it. Angela had clarified that we actually don't, that this building is within, since this building is primarily within the higher height zone, we didn't have to do that. We still like the setback, but this tenant wanted a little more square footage, wanted a little bit, little smaller deck, a little more square footage. So as you can see, there's some interior changes, but we won't really go through those. We kind of move stairs around and shafts. And then the roof changed a little bit. We actually pulled the our roof screen back a little bit here. We're trying to pull it back and get some of the equipment that, apologize, is still showing on the outside. It'll be pulled back inside the building face here. So we've actually pulled that back a little bit farther back. I know they're kind of minor changes, but we didn't want anybody to be surprised when they see some of this. And then on the other side, to accommodate some of that equipment, we brought this mechanical screen out about another, I think, almost 10 feet. So that's it. Sorry to go through it so quickly, but appreciate everyone's patience.
The external escalator, what is that height change to go from level one to level two?
That's 22 feet.
So with with the down escalator eliminated, then is there stairs down to the parking level below? Or?
There is, yeah. I mean, we have actually what we had before is we had an up and down escalator from level one to level two, and an up and down escalator from level one to the parking below.
Right.
So we've actually eliminated one of the down, we still have the up escalator from the parking up to the plaza level here, and we still have an up escalator from level one up to level two, but we just deleted the down escalators in both cases and replaced them with stairs.
Okay.
So it's about a 12-foot floor-to-floor from the main level down to the parking garage below, and then 22 feet here.
And the planting areas that that you know used to be just wider, is that pretty much, they just got a little bit shallower, but there still is growies and stuff in there?
Yeah. No, we still have, they're still planting, this planting area, are you talking about the ones up here on top? They're still there. It's just we don't have it wrapping around this corner here. We've replaced what used to wrap around the corner here. We now have a, it's actually pedestrian space, so it aligns with the upper landing here, and you can walk out there, kind of come to the corner there, a little kind of a bar countertop there.
Right.
So we'll have some seating and stuff out there.
But the rest of it, as you move east, that got shallower in a north-south direction.
Yeah, a little bit. We pulled that out just a little bit, but in general, didn't get too much shallower, I don't think.
But it's easier to, if you're standing at that second floor, it's easier to see down a little more steeply.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, part of what we're getting kind of from the retail consultants is really trying to kind of, maximize the, pull these facades out a little bit, get a little better connection, and also make some of the upper level plaza spaces a little bit narrower. We had some that were up to 30 feet wide, and they said they felt that was too wide, that we should narrow it down a little bit, and actually have kind of a variety of seating, some of the seating on the outside edge, some of it back towards the building.
And the covered trellis elements down there at the restaurants to the east end, does that sort of match the escalator?
Yeah, that's our thought. Yeah, is kind of the same language. It may not be exactly the same, but we've got kind of a series of columns clad in wood, and then covered glass canopy up the top with kind of a V-shaped or butterfly-shaped roof, kind of draining to the center. One of the other things that's kind of subtle is that there's the main office entry is in this location here, and before that office entry was actually the retail was pulled back from that. We had a blank wall section here, and then we had the retail was back behind that, and there was a kind of started out with a solid piece. We pulled that out, and that's actually kind of a glass corner now to kind of get a little more visibility to that retail area, the restaurant.
The increased square footage, we were overparked anyway, correct? It didn't change?
We're significantly parked quite a bit higher than our traffic study is.
Okay.
And the stair that's on the east end, that's just for fire exiting?
Right now it is, yeah. It's primarily, it was initially going to be kind of an access up to the roof, and now it's thought of just as really an exit from that stair, or exit from that from the additional square footage that we have up there.
So when you get to the top, you got the call out number 4, but is that some sort of a barrier or a wall?
It's just a railing, essentially. Yeah, it's probably a 4-foot tall railing.
So the change of the precast to other materials, is there precast still left?
Well, the precast that we have left is, we had two colors. This is precast here, the precast around the face of the building. So that still remains as precast. And the idea is that kind of ties in color-wise with the stone that we have on the building here and here. It's not exactly the same. But kind of given its usage, kind of cantilevering out there, we wanted a material that's a little more monolithic.
Mm-hmm. So that remains, but then there's several areas that have changed to brick. And is it a brick that's used elsewhere?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same. It's an iron spot brick that we have here. And I'm sorry, I don't have a sample of it, but it's a dark kind of iron spot brick.
So I think the only one on the next to the escalator there, you change it to fiber cement, precast to fiber cement.
Oh, yeah. We had some areas of precast that were kind of running back down through here. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues we have is it's really hard to set precast underneath an overhang. Learned that lesson on a couple of projects. Mm-hmm. So what we have is a textured, we showed you a sample of it before. It's actually, it's got vertical texture to it. And it's kind of integral color fiber cement board. So we have that here. We're still planning on some type of an art element or something coming down through here. We haven't really determined what that is. Mm-hmm. But the thought is, so really what you see is this element right here is kind of the fiber cement. It's actually used in some smaller areas now. It's a little bit smaller on the eastern side. So the thought was that's a little bit easier to, you know, come back in there and apply that on the back side.
So what was your thought in changing the color of the brick? It's just looking at, maybe I'm wandering into deliberation, but looking at it, you know, it just looks a lot darker. You know, I'm okay with maybe the material change, but I'm not sure why you chose to switch colors so drastically.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, the current rendering is much closer to the material that we had on the material port than this previous rendering. So that's pretty washed out. That's kind of a gray color. That's a lot closer to what the brick will really be like.
And the material that's flanking that entrance to the office, the west end of it, that didn't change. That stayed.
No, that hasn't changed. Yeah, okay. That's still a patinated metal.
Yeah,
it's a aluminum finish with a kind of a rusticated finish to it.
Okay.
But there's another section of that metal that changed on the other side, right?
It's a little bit less of it shown because we brought the retail facades out a little bit. So that has remained in the same position. Those are the elevators coming up from the garage to the lower office lobby and then the upper office lobby. That stayed in the same location, but we brought the retail facades out, actually on both sides, so pull those out a little bit more. So it's a little less visible, but still kind of projects out from the restaurant facades on either side.
Yeah, it's the south elevation changed quite a lot.
The south?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any other exterior fire escape stairs on any of the buildings?
No. No. I mean, the other exterior stairs really are kind of coming up to plazas.
Yeah, we've got
the main architectural stairs. So. And to be honest with you, we're looking at a couple of options for that stair in terms of possibly even pulling it inboard. One of the issues we faced was we have, in terms of the amount of assembly space that we have on the inside the building, so we're figuring the floor plate has, you know, up to 12% assembly space inside of it, and that has an occupant load of 15 square feet per person. And then with the conference space here, we had so many occupants on that floor, we've added a stair inside, so we have three stairs inside. It still wouldn't meet the occupant load, combining some additional deck space on the exterior deck space, which also is figured at 15 square feet per person. So we're in the scenario where we needed four stairs to exit it. One of the options that we're looking at is actually taking that stair and internalizing it. So we just don't have it worked out at this point, but that's just wanted to let you know that's one option we're looking at, taking that stair, internalizing. What allows us to do then is to not just exit that conference area, but to actually add that occupant load to the entire floor, giving us more area that we can occupy on decks on the exterior. So we've got a tenant looking at taking a significant area there, so we're thinking that that would give us the most flexibility. So that may change a little bit. It's kind of not, we don't have it quite worked out yet, but that's.
But if it's internal, it doesn't, we don't see it, nobody sees it from the outside here, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty well hidden, especially, with future phases, it's kind of the backside of the building, but it's still, if we do it, it's going to be a nicely detailed stair. We're looking at just a steel stair, kind of cantilever with a center post in it, and trying to take our same railing systems down through it and everything.
Susan, your comment on the south elevation changing a bunch, the brick, you think, is it going to be a lot contrastier, or are you, is that what you're?
Yeah, it just seemed like.
There's also, there's about 10 different iron spot bricks that, go from midnight black to, something that has a lot more of the rust and purples in it. I think that's where we want to head. I don't think we want to go really black. Mm-hmm. We had a charcoal gray precast in there before, so we had a darker base. So the thought is to kind of be in that same color range, but also trying to kind of set that off a little bit. The building itself is fairly light colored up above, so we're trying to set that off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I'm just afraid that it's a little too dark, especially if we're changing that whole southern facade. That's a significant amount, and it's just, I don't want it to be, I don't know. Lighter is better, closer to the original renderings, I think.
Yeah.
You're thinking specifically the south or all the brick in general?
Well, if you're going to change the south, then I don't see how you could wrap it. There's probably ways, but.
Yeah.
There's definitely higher contrast now.
Yeah, I'd say, I apologize. I think the rendering is kind of, they stepped it up a little more than.
Jeremy, you've got some iron spot bricks kind of up there. I think we're not, we're really looking less in the dark, more kind of in this range right here. So
I actually thought it kind of warmed the building up because it was, fairly stark cold. Yeah. And it seemed to warm it up a little bit.
No, I think I'm not disagreeing with it. I think it is.
Adding, as Scott was saying, adding a bit of color, is good. I just, because this looks as dark and we just saw the black brick from the last project, I just don't want to go, dark.
I think you're right. I mean, part of the reason for the iron spot was that we've got some kind of rust colors in the building.
There is a variance in the brick, too. It's not all solid.
Yeah. I mean, every manufacturer has it goes from, like I say, really, really black to something that the thought was to have a bit of a wide range in that. But.
Do you guys just want to hit topic by topic? How does everyone else feel about the brick?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, Angela, do we just comment on it and say thumbs up, thumbs down? Is that the procedure?
Yeah, unless you have something that you're really concerned about, I think you can just let me know that it's okay.
Okay.
Personally, I'm the massing changes are fine with me. Mm-hmm. I don't see any detriment in general to the project. I mean, I think the brick is a different look, but if it's not black, that doesn't bother me. I have to say the only single thing that I feel is not necessarily successful is the overlook there in place of a planting. It seems like sort of a, I don't know that it'd get used. It sort of stops that nice green corner, and it almost feels like a hiding spot to me. So that's my only thought
so if it does wrap around, then that green has to, it can't just bonk into a glass rail like it does at the landing down below, because it has to be a solid.
It just has a planter wall there, though, to resolve it at the stair. I don't know. I mean,
It's got a, that lower planter area has a, it's got a parapet, and then behind that is a, there's a short section of Corten wall that peaks up above that, and that Corten will continue around. So you'll see, you'll have a railing there that'll prevent you from going into it, and then behind that will be a short, you know, like 18-inch or 2-foot tall Corten wall that will contain the planting behind there, so.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, super strong on it. It's just...
I kind of thought it was interesting because it reminded me of what happens at the other end, where we go from 72 to 52 as well. There was kind of a nice little hillside-y sort of stair-stepping. I can see that's a pretty popular spot. There's going to be some turf wars. You know, people just plant themselves there and never leave because they've got a, you know, bar to set their beer on and
I agree.
Never leave.
I thought that was kind of intriguing.
Yeah,
I guess what's it assigned to, though? I mean, what is... Which use is it connected to?
It's just
landing.
Yeah, our thought is just kind of a hangout space. You know, it's since it is, you know, 22 feet from the level one to level two, it's just a space to kind of pause a little bit. And, I think, you know, Chris Snyder talked pretty eloquently about these spaces where you can look over and kind of connect to other spaces. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of narrow, but our thought was that was kind of part of the intrigue about it. It was, you know, more of a kind of a cozy space you could.
And where is the public elevator for the restaurants?
The public elevator for the restaurants?
Yeah. I'm thinking of eliminating that down escalator, and it's a lot of stairs, and so I'm sure that there's a public elevator through a lobby or something somewhere for elderly or for accessibility reasons.
Yeah, let me just...
Is it on page 2?
No, we don't.
Yeah, we've got, you know, there's several elevators. We've got the elevators right here. Sorry, that's hard to see, but there's an elevator that comes that serves all of the parking levels that comes up right in this location. You've got an elevator on this location here. You've got an elevator here coming up as well. This will be a lobby. There will be most likely an entry from this restaurant here into the lobby here and probably from this restaurant into the lobby. So these elevators will come up. So you've got really...
So on page 2 there, I think you just have a little bit in the corner. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that there was an elevator somewhere nearby to replace that down escalator.
Yeah. Yeah, we looked at it pretty hard. You know, we think it's you know, there's enough...
at the top or on the right side.
Yeah.
Right
yeah. The yeah. So you see these elevators here be accessible. And then right around the corner, kind of right in this location, there's another set of elevators right there. So then,
just to clarify, how wide was the terrace before and how wide will it be in this?
It kind of varies back and forth.
Mainly the narrowest portion.
The narrowest point, I think this right here, this is about 18 feet right now or 16 feet. Well, I think it's about 18 feet there. And it's about the same as it was here. This is about 14 feet in this corner here, or the same right there. We kind of brought this facade out. It's kind of about where this used to be here, so that pulled out a little bit, and that pulled back and out a little bit. So we were figuring we're pretty tight here, and just bringing the whole facade out made this really tight. So we wanted a decent size. We got a planter here. So I think we got about 12 to 14 feet in this location as well. So the idea is try to have, you know, the compression of some spaces and then a little bit wider space here. So this is still we've got Ipe wood here, those precast pavers, and then Ipe kind of defining that area. Yeah, you can see we actually did bring this out. This we brought out a little bit because we wanted to kind of create kind of a eddy space here. So we brought this out, aligned it with actually what was happening on the other side. So this did get a little bit, this planting area got a little bit narrower, brought the people out a little closer to the action below.
So on the updated perspective there, with all the umbrellas at the tables in that area, so is this one restaurant, the whole area around there?
Yeah. This is right now, this is one restaurant wrapping around the corner here, and then there's another restaurant on the other side of that.
So does this get essentially velvet roped off right there where you... You can't just meander.
Actually, you don't need to rope them off anymore, so they probably won't be roped off.
But, I mean, the public, if they're not eating, they can still meander out here and
yeah.
overlook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't think they're probably not going to use all of this space here. They'll probably have some seating closer to the building and some on the outside as well, and closer to the rear.
Okay. I don't see anything in here that is... bothering me at all.
I don't like the reduction of landscape here. It's cut back from that little landing, and it's not as deep, you know. So
which page are you?
I'm flipping back and forth between page 7 and page 8.
You're talking about that, overlook
so,
here?
So not a deal breaker. If I had to put my foot down on one thing, it would be that exterior fire stair. You know, I just don't think that matches the character kind of the building and matches the quality of the development. You know, you walk around, I don't know, any other kind of modern, sophisticated downtown, you don't see just kind of those exterior fire stairs hanging out. I think if that were enclosed, then that's the only thing that I would request.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a back of building.
Yeah, it doesn't look attractive.
It's not an entrance, is it? I mean,
you don't
go up that and the door open. The door's locked. It's just an egress door.
It was kind of an evolution of things. It kind of started out being kind of a back way to get up to a deck area, and then we realized that when we added the area there, we needed to actually be an exit.
Okay.
So, and it, due to the... It's interesting. We can't really use it to exit the deck because we have to rate some of the walls adjacent as we come around the corner here and go back towards that. We can't really use it to exit the deck, so it's kind of become an exit primarily from that conference center. So, and if that's not, you know, if that's not used as a conference center, then it'd have to tie into the rest of the building. So. So, like I said, we're exploring options to bring it inboard, and we think it helps from a number of different aspects. One is we can take that, we can use it fully and not just exit the conference center. We can exit the whole building, which allows us to add more deck space, because right now we're somewhat limited in the amount of deck space we can actually occupy because it all adds up to our exit loading. So. It's really surprising how much that adds to it.
That's the only thing I'd say. I mean, because there's a lot of things I'm like, oh, the darker color, well, it's not a deal breaker. Oh, we got rid of a down escalator. I don't like it, but it's not a deal breaker. That is the one thing I'd say. I would want that exterior exit stair enclosed.
Scott, what are you kind of agreed somewhat?
I just think that, I don't know, it doesn't look as professional as the rest of the building does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks more residential than.
Yeah.
So that would be my comment. The landscape part on the front, I actually don't mind because it's just grass. I mean, it's
I like it because it gets you further out to look down and have the room.
I don't mind that at all.
If it stays,
I kind of don't like the decrease of the patio space. It seems like the retailers would like that space, but
They can be too big, though, sometimes.
Because mm-hmm. It's like a room too big where the furniture ends up just to the edges and there's this big gap in the middle that doesn't ever get used and it just feels wrong. So if we, the end result is if we wait and see if Brad's request for getting the stair inside, do we come back with that, or is that just something that if they can do it, it's great, if not?
Aren't we supposed to just give you guidance?
Yeah, so yeah. That's right. So yeah. I think what you said is true. They're looking into it. If they can make that happen, it sounds like they want to mm-hmm. also. But if they can't,
make it a really good-looking stair that doesn't look
that's right.
tacked on
yeah.
from a...
Would you mind going back to their site plan just
well, sure.
to see what the view is of that side? Because I have a feeling it doesn't
matter.
The overall
site plan here?
Yeah, so it's...
Do you want pointer?
No, just looking at what the view of that stair is.
So yeah, this and again, this isn't the updated site plan, but you can see that's we had a
back of house.
Even when the existing building's torn down, that's that circular turnaround.
Yeah.
Right there,
so
it's a drop off for the daycare.
Yeah, so there's, the phase two looks like, it's probably a theater in this location, so that's a corner that's kind of the lobby of the theaters over there. So
it's in the middle of the complex. It's facing another building. Go downtown Bellevue, you don't see an exterior exit stair. Go to Carillon Point, you don't see one of those. And you don't have it on any of the other buildings. I don't like it. That's my official stance.
Well, if it's exterior, we'll make it a little more design time to it.
Yeah. So I think, board, we're in general, we're okay with all this stuff. Angela and Brad is on record as... And I don't disagree with them at all. I think it
no,
does.
No, I agree.
It is. It's just like. It's
especially
one of those.
If the theater is going to be viewing it.
Yeah. And turn around and a drop off for the daycare and everything else. And there's this metal stair that, doesn't fit. Okay. Is that what you need from us?
That's what I need.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, everybody.
Item of business, as we mentioned earlier in the meeting, is more both of the January dates fall on holidays. So, since we could probably set aside one meeting, and the choices are January 10th, which is a Tuesday, and January 16th, which is the Monday between the two holidays. Is there any preference for either of those?
I'm not available on the Tuesday.
Say it again, the 16th?
16th?
That says it's MLK Day and everything's closed. Because council's on the 17th.
Oh, you're right.
What would it, and Houghton's on the 23rd.
Well, Houghton is canceling.
Oh, they are canceled, aren't they?
Houghton's canceling their meeting on the 23rd. So sorry, you're right. So the 10th or the 23rd is either.
Okay. And Monday the 9th is, we don't.
The youth council has this room.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We have to negotiate something else for them.
Okay. At this point, I'm good with either of those, the 10th or the 23rd.
Okay. I think what I'll do probably is just put a hold on this room and both dates.
What day of the week is the 23rd?
That's
Monday.
Okay.
Okay. That, I think, should be it. Oh. close. Anything else? Any other discussions at all? Okay. I'll be happy to hear a motion for adjournment.
Move adjournment.
Second.
Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We are adjourned.